Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Friday edition of The Rant. It's July 12th. I'm Jeff, and got a nice podcast planned for you today. We're going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons and Baltimore Ravens, getting you set up for fantasy football drafts. Of course, we're doing the same over at ftnfantasy.com. You probably already know that, but if you don't, go check it out. The website is officially awesome. The subscriptions are awesome. They pay for the price of admission, no doubt about it. So ftnfantasy.com, and I tell you what, you guys are awesome. The reception of having this podcast back has been just tremendous in the last couple of days here. Yesterday on the podcast, I did tell the story of why the podcast went away. Not the easiest story to tell, is a story that really has eaten away at me for a long time. And I was glad to finally kind of clear the air there. And I'm glad that this podcast is officially back. So thank you guys for the support. But let's keep going, man. Let's make this thing bigger and better. Absolutely love that. So today, again, Atlanta Falcons, Baltimore Ravens team preview. I want to start with the Falcons, which is a really interesting team this year. Obviously, we know that the Arthur Smith regime didn't quite work out. I'm not one who's going to sit here and crap all over Arthur Smith. It's just not my vibe. Was he a good head coach? No. Is he a good offensive mind? Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely is. And I actually think that he's going to be really good for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Some of these guys are better coordinators than they are head coaches, and you know, maybe that's him. He also had a really crappy situation. He had Matt Ryan on his literally last legs, and then no quarterback for two seasons, and still managed to go 7-10 in each of those 3 years. So credit where credit's due. But he's out. He is out. And they bring in Raheem Morris, who, ironically enough, was the interim head coach. Like, they could have just had him all along. Obviously, he was with the Rams previously here. He's back in, a defensive-minded guy. And what's most exciting here is, yet again, another McVay disciple moving up in the world. Zach Robinson will be the offensive coordinator. And, you know, I got to work with Zach at PFF. He was a backup quarterback briefly in the NFL. Didn't manage to hack it there, but that's fine. It's really hard to do. Even as a backup quarterback, it's hard to last in the NFL. But he is a former quarterback. He does view the game that way. However, with McVay, he got to work in, well, really all the offensive positions. I saw Zach at the 2020 Combine and talked to him briefly, and he's like, yeah, I'm coaching tight ends this year. It's like, really? And he's like, yeah, McVay likes us to coach all the positions so that we can eventually become coordinators and maybe more. And that's pretty awesome stuff. So he's coming from that background into this team. And one thing that we know about Sean McVay is, if he has a bell cow running back, guess what? He's going to use the bell cow running back. And yeah, he did it with Todd Gurley. He even did it this past year with Kyren Williams. And there's no guarantee that Zach's going to be the same exact type of person, but he has a bell cow running back in Bijan Robinson. For what it's worth, a lot of people thought last season was a disappointment with Robinson. And I think part of that is really because they just drafted him at his ceiling. When you draft a player at their ceiling, it's really hard for them to meet expectations. Unless you know you're doing so, and then you're going to kind of level set from there. But if you're drafting them at their ceiling, it's going to be really hard for them to meet those expectations. Robinson had 214 carries. He had 969 rushing yards. Now, only four rushing touchdowns, but he did have four receiving touchdowns as well. This dude had 58 catches, 487 receiving yards. Like, one of the best receiving backs in the season. Fourth at the position in receiving yards, tied for sixth in receptions. Like, he was one of eight running backs to have at least four receiving touchdowns. He was very, very good. The problem was, yeah, they used Tyler Allgeier. And Tyler Allgeier is not bad, man. But the good news, everything we've heard out of Atlanta, they're going to feed him the rock. Now, they didn't go as far as saying what Nathaniel Hackett once said about C.J. Spiller, that they're going to give him the rock until he throws up, but they are going to feed him the ball. He is going in the first round right now. He may be the second running back drafted in your drafts, regardless if it's one quarterback, super flex, whatever. He may very well be, and I don't think that's crazy this year. He's very, very talented. He is built for a three-down role, and this year is definitively not him and Tyler Allgeier in sort of a timeshare. It's him and then Tyler Allgeier. Allgeier is the cuff. If I draft Bijan on my board on draft day, I move Allgeier up a couple rounds, two or three rounds, just to make sure I get him, because, yeah, if I'm spending a first-round pick on a running back, you bet your rear end I'm going to cuff that running back. But it's not just here. Of course, they brought in Kirk Cousins. They paid him a boatload of money. And then they drafted Michael Penix at 8 overall. That's another story for another time. Like, really, I don't know what it, maybe it works out. Like, they're trying to claim it was this sort of like Jordan Love type pick, but Jordan Love was a late first round pick. He wasn't the 8th overall pick. Like, they, I don't know. I don't know. But Kirk Cousins is there. Cousins is coming off of the Achilles. He was having an MVP caliber season last year. He probably, I don't know if he would have won the MVP. I don't think he would have. I think it still would have been Lamar, but he was right there over the first 8 games of the season. I mean, he had 2,331 passing yards, 18 passing touchdowns. This is in 8 games. I mean, this is awesome stuff. He's in. He claims he's good to go. And, you know, I love Kirk Cousins, honestly. I really do. The one thing that I really love about him, he throws the ball to the end zone. I am a sucker for a quarterback who has eyes for the end zone. Last year, 22 end zone throws in 8 games. Over the last 3 seasons, he's averaging 2.6 per game. Why is that important? It's important because as a quarterback, the highest conversion rate of throws to touchdowns is when you throw to the end zone. And there are certain quarterbacks in this league who do it really well. Like Russell Wilson has always been good over the course of his career. You know, guys like Josh Allen, a lot of people you would expect to be on the list. Then there are other guys at the other end of the spectrum. Like Daniel Jones is the worst at, like, absolute, and I'm not joking, not hyperbolic, the worst. Kirk Cousins is one of the better. Maybe not the best, but he's up there, and I love that. And it's boring. You know, you're going to get him as quarterback 17, 18, 19, whatever. It's like a perfect super flex quarterback, but he has nice weapons here. He's got London, who I'll talk about in a minute. He's got Bijan. He's got Kyle Pitts, and they upgraded their wideouts. Like, they brought in Darnell Mooney. Maybe not a fantasy viable option. Like, sure, maybe in best ball, but not in redraft leagues, but still, that's going to help Cousins. They brought in Rondell Moore. That's going to help Cousins. Like, we may see a little bit of Ray McLeod or Cordero Hodge on the field. That's all going to help Cousins. So he's in a good spot, provided he's healthy. I'm not worried about the Michael Penix stuff. All right, let's talk about Drake. And no, we're not going to get into his beef with Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, sorry, bad joke. Drake London, he has honestly been really good despite the circumstances in his first 2 seasons. The numbers aren't amazing. Like, he hasn't had a 1,000-yard season yet. He only has 6 touchdowns in 33 games played, but 72 for 866 in his rookie season. Last year, a very nice 69 for 905. And he went 2.07 yards per route run in his first season, 1.87 last year. Like, those are not elite numbers. 3.0 is like you walk amongst the gods. 2.5 and above is like pretty elite. They're not elite numbers, but he did those with crap at quarterback. He's not going to have crap at quarterback this year. If Cousins is good to go, we saw, like, Cousins has had success really every step of the way. Like, you can go back to Washington. He had plenty of success there. And that's a cool thing about Cousins as well. He played in this system in Washington. He played in this system in Minnesota with O'Connell. And he's going to play in the same system now here yet again. It's a variation. Like, yeah, you're not going to get 100% Kevin O'Connell's playbook from Zach Robinson, and as you shouldn't, but he's going to be very familiar. So he's going to hit the ground running here. Drake London is going very early. Like, if you want Drake London, you have to take him in the middle of the second round right now, one quarterback leagues. And I don't think that's bad. At all. Like, yeah, we're probably closer to his ceiling, but I think we see a nice step forward out of him. The nice thing this year, we're not overpaying on Kyle Pitts. That whole thing is in the past, and rightfully so. He was a disappointment the last 2 years. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it wasn't. But last year, he still had, I mean, look at the numbers, 53 catches, 90 targets, 667 receiving yards. Sure, only 3 touchdowns. This is a newsflash for some. Tight ends don't score a lot of touchdowns. It's just the nature of the position. But those aren't bad numbers. They're not good numbers, but they're not bad numbers. Now, with a better quarterback, a quarterback, mind you, who targeted his tight end TJ Hockenson a buttload after he came into the fold. Like, when Kirk Cousins has a good tight end, he's going to use him. There's a lot of potential here for Kyle Pitts. And, I, you know, we talk about these post-hype sleepers. You'll probably hear me say post-hype sleeper, like we'll turn it into a drinking game. I'm going to say it so many times on this podcast. But a post-hype sleeper is a guy who last year, the year before, he was hyped up and did not reach the expectations of fantasy drafters. And so, therefore, his ADP is lower, like the current year. And then that's the year they break out, or that's the year that they hit. Kyle Pitts is definitely that this year. He's tight end six. He's going pick 61 in early ADP here. So that puts you, I mean, you're talking six round. Like, that's what I call the tight end wheelhouse. And the beauty here is you're not spending a third round pick on Kyle Pitts, but you're still getting the same ceiling that you got out of him when you drafted him in the third round. Like, it's the same ceiling. It's now we're realizing his floor is lower, his midpoint's lower, but I actually really like him this year. Otherwise on this team, I think it's pretty straightforward. Like I said, Darnell Mooney and best ball, maybe Algier, if you're drafting Bijan, but you know, if I drafted, let's say I drafted McCaffrey, Algier doesn't have any major value to me. Like, it's only when I draft Bijan that he actually has major value to me. Okay. So let's move over to Baltimore. Unveiling, you said that alternate uniform is pretty nice. I love all these alternate uniforms this year, man. It's awesome stuff. But of course, not much has changed from last year. John Harbaugh and Todd Monken in place. They were 13-4 team. Oh, they're part of Bimageddon. By the way, we have two Bimageddons this year. I don't know if you knew this. Week 12 and week 14 are going to suck. Down the stretch, man. Week 14, the last week before the fantasy playoffs, and we have six teams on bye. Oh, it's brutal. But we're all in the same boat. We're all playing the same game. Odell out. Both running backs, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards out. Derrick Henry in. And they drafted Tez Walker. I don't think he'll be much this year, but I think he's an interesting player. But let's talk about the team itself. So under Todd Monken, we saw Lamar Jackson really take a big step forward. He was already, we know, an elite running quarterback. In fact, if you wanted to rank in the history of the NFL the greatest running quarterbacks, is there a dispute here? He's the best, right? Like, you're not going to say, Cam Newton himself, he said, it's not me. Michael Vick never was able to do what Lamar is doing. Like, Vick did something different at the time, but Lamar has taken that to a completely different level. Like, Vick was like the 1963 Beatles, and Lamar is like Sgt. Pepper's, you know? Lamar's like Revolver and Rubber Soul. That's what he's doing right now. He's incredible, man. He is absolutely incredible. And obviously, last year was amazing. MVP season, second one already. Dude's 27 years old, you know? He took a step forward as a passer. He didn't quite reach the numbers that he had in his first MVP season, but still 3,678 passing yards, 24 passing scores, only seven picks. Like, he's very good. And the nice thing is they've continued to add talent around him in terms of receivers. Like, we saw Zay Flowers show a lot of promise. They really like Rashad Bateman. They drafted Tez Walker, as I said. I don't know how much we see of him this year, but still, they could get Isaiah Likely on the field more often. Lamar is an elite or borderline elite fantasy quarterback. The problem with an elite or borderline elite fantasy quarterback is that I don't ever draft them. They go too early. In one quarterback leagues, for that elite tier, and it's your top four for me this year is that elite tier. So it's Allen, it's Hurts, it's Mahomes, it's Jackson. I don't care the order you have it in, whatever. That's the elite tier. In order for me to draft those dudes, I need to get three rounds of value, which will never, ever, ever, no matter the weather, ever happen in our home leagues. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get three rounds of value on him. What I mean by that is I'll establish a round grade. So for those guys, for Lamar and for Mahomes, it's a fourth round. So that means they have to be there in the seventh for me to consider taking them. And I would take them there. I would. They're not getting there. It might randomly happen in an industry league for that elite group, but otherwise what I'm doing in one quarterback league is I'm waiting till the late rounds. Lamar's never getting to the late rounds, so I'm not going to have him there. I'll have a little bit of exposure to him in best ball, of course. I won't have him in Superflex either, because in Superflex, my objective there is to wait until at least 12 quarterbacks are taken and then address the position. And I'm using 12 as my number this year. Each year, it's going to be slightly different. If you want my full draft strategy, I have it in the game plan draft guide, wrote it completely out for you. And it's not like number or anything like that. It's just more, hey, here's the strategies and here's how I use them on draft day. And you could take them, you could leave them, whatever you want to do, man. But I pull the curtain back and show you how I draft. Plain and simple. So that is part of the Fantasy Plus subscription at ftnfantasy.com. So Lamar is going early. He's going as the fourth quarterback off the board, and rightfully so. But you can get pieces of Lamar. You can also get other pieces of this offense. But of course, you can do so through Mark Andrews. Now, Andrews last year, the injury sucked, but he was still just as good as ever. And, you know, you hear this like this phrase, like people would say it about Kyle Pitts, but it's actually probably more true about Mark Andrews than it is about Kyle Pitts. You ready? Here's the phrase. Tight end in name only. Right? You've heard that before. Well, last year, if you look at Andrews, he lined up in the slot on 81% of his routes. Like, he's a slot receiver. He's not a tight end. That's a little different for Pitts, although Pitts might be out on the perimeter a little bit more, but Pitts is going to line up in line more than Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews stayed in the block on 7 of his passing snaps. That's it. He's a tight end in name only, and that's fine. He doesn't have to block for us to get fantasy points out of him. Now, previously, Mark Andrews was going, like last year, was going maybe a little too early for my taste. This year, 48th pick overall, tight end 4. So he's in that range where he should be available as we get into round 5. And if he is, he's a fine option. I am not worried about Isaiah Likely. In fact, I think we could see both of them on the field at the same time. Not to the degree that Isaiah Likely is going to be draftable. He is going to be a watchlist guy. Like, he'll be a guy I keep my eye on early in the season. But it is really difficult for teams to sustain fantasy value for two tight ends. Like, the quintessential example, and now it's like, you know, it's obviously an infamous example because it involves Aaron Hernandez, but it was Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez early in their careers. They were both not only fantasy viable, but they were both like elite fantasy tight ends on the same team. That doesn't happen very often. And it's exceedingly rare, especially when you have a team that's as run heavy as Baltimore. I would not expect it to be the case. And also, you know, just want to throw this out there. The idea of handcuffing a tight end is not really viable for me. It doesn't work like running back because you're only starting one of those tight ends. So it's not something I would go out of my way to do. But I will say, if Mark Andrews goes down, Isaiah Likely showed us last year, he can be awesome. He can be very, very good. But they should, you know, it's going to be hard for them to not have him on the field a bunch this year. Quickly on the wideouts, like Zay Flowers, man, solid rookie season, 77 catches, 855, 5 touchdowns. I think he's going to take another step forward this year. He is undersized, but he can be so dynamic. If they can get Bateman to really ramp up this year, because like Bateman was kind of the downfield target last year. You would have thought Flowers was, but totally opposite in terms of average depth of target or air yards per target. So just the amount of air yards you're targets travel on average. 8.7 for Flowers, that's like low. That's like a slot receiver type number right there. But he was an outside receiver, 31% in the slot last year. Either way, Bateman, 14.2. He was the downfield guy. So I don't know what ultimately happens there, but I don't mind Flowers at all. In fact, I've got a bunch of him in best ball already. And I think he's going to be a fine option in redraft leagues. He's currently going 45th overall, wide receiver 25. So he's like right in that fringe wide receiver 2 range, which is totally fine. And you get a lot of juice with him. Let's move over to Derrick Henry. I had a wish list of teams for certain players who were hitting free agency. And the first player on that wish list was Derrick Henry. And the only team I wanted him to go to was Baltimore, because we knew he wasn't going to stick with Tennessee. And that's fine. This was the only team. Why, do you ask? Well, because I know here, he doesn't necessarily have to carry the ball 300 times to be effective. And in fact, we know this because we saw a prime example of this with a late career back who was maybe not quite as high a volume runner as Derrick Henry. I mean, who is? But had late career success in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson in 2019. That player, of course, is Mark Ingram. In 2019, 30 years old, which is exactly how old Derrick Henry will be this season, Ingram had 202 carries for 1,018 yards. Okay, that's all right, but 10 rushing touchdowns, and he had 5 receiving touchdowns. He only caught 26 balls, and that's the thing about Henry. He's not going to catch the ball a lot. He had 28 catches in 17 games last year. But, and I'm not expecting that kind of touchdown productivity, but, you know, as a runner, like Derrick Henry, double-digit touchdowns, you almost ink it in. You get the Sharpie out and you ink it in. And part of it is because of his goal line usage. 15 goal line carries in 2022. He had 13 rushing touchdowns total. Not a coincidence. 17 games played. He had 16 goal line carries last year, and he had 12 rushing touchdowns. I mean, it's not a coincidence. So he's going to get the work down there. He's the guy. Lamar, unlike, say, like Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts, Lamar is not really a goal line back. So Henry's going to get that work. he should see a lot of work in the backfield as well, because they have no competition for touches behind him. Like, this depth chart is thin. You know, you have Keaton Mitchell coming off of injury, and they're not even sure he's going to be ready for the start of the season. And even when he is ready, he is a change of pace back. Like, he's almost like a gadget player. Justice Hill is there. Sure, he can catch the ball to the backfield, and he probably will, because, as I said, Derrick Henry's not going to do a lot of that. Rasheen Ali, who they drafted in the fifth round, I mean, there's nobody there. So he's going to get a lot of work. Like, Derrick Henry's value right now, and it's hard to get value on a top 10 option, but it's pretty stinking good. You know, Derrick Henry's going pick 28 overall. He's RB10. He's a third round pick. Like, you could go wide receiver, Derrick Henry, and still go hero RB, anchor RB, punt RB2, whatever you want to call it. You got an anchor RB in him in the third round. Now, there's no clear handcuff here, by the way, but I like that a lot. You know, I like the whole situation for him. And by the way, like, he didn't lose a step. Like, last year, he had 16 runs of 15 plus yards. There was only one player in the NFL with more, and that was Christian McCaffrey. Now, of course, you have to touch the ball a lot to rack up those, but still, like, McCaffrey had 20, Henry had 16. Like, he's still just as good. So this is a great spot for him. Really like him in Baltimore. And that third round, that's a nice spot. That is a nice spot right there, especially if you go wide out, wide out. You could exercise, execute the punt RB2 strategy that I talk about in that game plan draft guide, even in the third round. Last year, that wasn't possible. This year, it is, because of how wide receivers are going. So there's Baltimore for you. We're going to take a break on the weekend. And like I said, on yesterday's podcast, if you didn't listen to that, I'm going 4 days a week on this show, and I will be hosting the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, one episode a week. And it looks like that'll be Wednesdays. We haven't finalized those plans yet, but I'll let you know when we do. A lot of people who listen to this podcast kind of completely missed that I was hosting that podcast for a while, the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. So somebody asked me, look, what do I subscribe to? Well, subscribe to both. Please subscribe to both. Subscribe to as many FTN media podcasts as you can, but just subscribe to both, because you'll get me on Wednesdays. And the cool thing about Wednesdays is I'm going to have co-hosts on that show. I'm never going to have a co-host on this show. This is just my solo jam, you know. On that show, I will have co-hosts, so it'll be a little bit of a different vibe, but you'll still get all the same like great information. And then the cool thing about it, as I said, is Wednesdays we'll be doing rankings. And I know everybody loves those rankings, man. So again, appreciate all of the kind words since we relaunched this bad boy. Follow along with me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. Follow along with me on Instagram. At Jeff Ratcliffe. A lot of interaction on Instagram, man. You guys are something else on Instagram. I see you Rat Packers there. Not even mad, I'm impressed, baby. Alright, so that's going to wrap it up for today. FTNFantasy.com, go check it out. And I'm going to catch you on the flip side of the weekend. Until then, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.